as is always the case on the day of Pentecost, is Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Did you hear, did you notice how many times in this depiction, which is, of course, the depiction of the giving of the Holy Spirit, one of those momentous moments in the life of God interacting with God's people, one of those momentous moments, how it is there. Amory is here. My goodness gracious. Hey, Amory. Oh, my goodness. That was a surprise. Wow. That just interrupted everything, didn't I? I interrupted myself. Big part, what? Yes, yes. It's hard to mistake. Yes. Yes, now I'm going to switch and we're going to preach on miracles. Yes, yes. I just interrupted myself. That's pretty bad. But anyway, great to see you. Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, somebody, where was I? I hope Renee's giving me the answer. Good that you're paying attention, darling. Thank you. No, but if you notice in this passage that great emphasis is given on the fact that it was for everyone, all, each, every. It's repeated just so we get it. All together in one place. It filled the entire house, each of them, all of them, every nation under heaven. Each one heard, each speaking in the native language of each. It amazed not all of these. Here, each of us and all were amazed. All flesh and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. How many times? I didn't even count them. How many times it says each, everyone, all, every, over and over and over again. So if we're wondering if the Holy Spirit is given to everyone, all you have to do is read this and go each and all and every and each and all and every and each and everyone. And you go, yep, it's poured out for everyone. So if we're living as Spirit-filled Christians, which is our calling, as we celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit today on the day of Pentecost, if we're living in that way, then it sort of challenges us in our discipleship. It challenges us to exactly what we need to do, because we understand that God is giving God's Spirit to every person. And therefore, if we speak Christ to that person, it's not just that they're not going to hear it any other way, that they're not going to understand it. God's Spirit is already upon that person. God is acting in the life of that person. That person is a part of the each and every and all that the Pentecost talks about. And so God is already acting in their life, and so therefore we are called to live the Word, to live the Word in everything that we do, because God's Spirit is already acting in the life of the other person. God's Spirit is already there. It's everyone. God's Spirit is upon each and every person. So we must live the power of the Word so that they, through the power of the Spirit, can understand, so that they then can have interpretation of that. I love how it gives all these different languages and it spells them out, those words that I sort of read through quickly, but the nationalities of all these people, and it's saying that everyone understood. And you know, that's no small feat. Sometimes I watch a TV show and it's from England and they start talking and I go, I know they're speaking English, but I don't understand what they're saying because they have the dialects and different phrases to words, and I go, he said a whole paragraph and I have no idea what he just said. Also, when I'm with the Board of Paroles, sometimes we have inmates who do not speak English. We bring in an interpreter. The interpreter is staying there with us. The interpreter is interpreting what the person's saying. And a lot of times, she has to ask him to or her to repeat because they're using dialects or phrases that she's not familiar with. And so they go back and forth, and you can tell she's getting clarification. I go, they're speaking the same language. They still don't always understand. But we don't have to worry about that. God's Spirit is making sure that when we live Christ, others understand, that others see us living Christ. Last week I introduced to you Jason Everson. He was my associate at First United Methodist in Lancaster. I worked with him, and then he left from there, and then after about 10 years decided to rejoin the Navy. He was a graduate of the Naval Academy and served in the Navy, and then felt led to go into the ministry, so left there, went to seminary, and came in the ministry, and my position as associate was his first after all that time period. No, it was his second after all that time period. And then he decided after about 10 years that he was called to be a chaplain, and so he went back to the Navy and became a chaplain. They kept him at his rank and everything, which is interesting. And so now he's stationed in Tokyo at the 7th Fleet, the headquarters 7th Fleet, which is the largest naval base outside of the United States and the third largest naval base in the world. And so he's there, one of the chaplains that's there. And we were talking, discussing, you know, his life and what's going on. And he said, you know, you are a mandatory reporter. If somebody comes to me and says that they have a potential of being harmed to themselves or others, then by state law, I have to break confidence and report that they are harmed to themselves or others. But he said, as a Navy chaplain, he said, we're not mandatory reporters, and we're forbidden to report if they are of harm to themselves or potentially to others. And I said, that's a weird rule. I don't understand it. But he said, it's just the rule we have to live with. And he said, it's really tricky when some of these young sailors, most of the people he deals with are about 19 years old, when they come to him and they say they're going to commit suicide. And he cannot report that they need to be hospitalized, that they need to be on suicide watch, anything else. It's forbidden. He cannot report any of it. So the only thing he can do is to talk with them and share with them and try to encourage them to report themselves as, I need help with this. I need to be under suicide watch. I need for people to know that this is going on with me. He has to live Christ to that person, to persuade that person that he is or she is truly loved and others care about him or her, and that they need to move on from there. We might not, or we may, encounter those who are that desperate in life, but we certainly encounter those who need us to live Christ, because the Spirit is working in their lives, each and every one, all of us as well. We also see from what is written here, as he quotes from the prophet Joel, the fact indeed that God is preparing the way for the future. Peter says, this is the way in which Joel the prophet proclaimed it, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. God will help us to see the future. As Christian disciples then, living out the Spirit of God that is given to us, we are called to dream big. To dream big as to what the future holds. To dream big because God is preparing that future and God wants us to be a part of it. And that future is for everyone. And therefore, we need to dream big for all people to understand, for all people to be a part of that great moment when God's triumph comes. And that small moment when God moves that individual person to bring them closer to God. We, as Christian disciples, have to understand the Spirit gives us the hope of the future. The Spirit gives us that future that is bright and glorious. That Spirit is there preparing us to prophesy and to dream dreams. And therefore, we have to dream big and we have to allow others to see that our God is such a great God that the future is God's as well. God is already in the future preparing the way. Jason told another story that was interesting as well. I hope you forgive me for talking about Jason and his stories from being over there. But, you know, it's sort of interesting. And he said that they called him one evening and had him come because one of the sailors was very young, was extremely distraught. And he got there and he said, this sailor was hysterical. He was crying. He was screaming. He said, we went in a room together and he was crying. He was screaming and he was just... whole time he was saying, I've got to go home, I've got to go home, I've got to go back to the States, I've got to go home. You know, they're in Tokyo, and he said, I've got to go home, I've got to go home. He's given him all the reasons in the midst of sobs and screams and crying and everything else. And he said his grandparents were failing health and one of them wasn't expected to live. His parents were in trouble and they needed his help. His whole family was falling apart. And here he was all the way in Tokyo and he had to go home. And he just kept screaming and crying, saying, I've got to go home, I've got to go home, I've got to go home. And finally Jason got him calmed down enough and he said, how long have you been here? And he said, I just got here. I just got here. I just landed. And Jason was like, oh, you just got here. You're hysterical about going home. And Jason said, did you happen to sleep on the way over? It was a long flight. And he said, no, I haven't slept. I haven't slept at all. And he said, well, did you get anything to eat? No, I haven't eaten a thing. So Jason said, okay, I need to prepare you for tomorrow. So he made sure that a bed was prepared, and he had a bed to go to, and so he could rest in peace and quiet. And he also made sure he got a nice meal. And he said the next day, the sailor was a changed guy. Jason said, I knew he had a future there. All he needed to do was to see that his future was there, not going back home. Sometimes that's what we need to do, to encourage others to see the future is there. God is already there preparing the way. You might need some encouragement to see that future that God is preparing, but God's Spirit is encouraging us to see your future, and God's Spirit is encouraging us to see how our future and your future can be together as we accomplish everything that God is calling us to accomplish. And then in the prophet Joel's section, he says indeed, he talks about the coming day of the Lord, and how the Spirit is preparing us for that coming day of the Lord. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The second coming of Christ is foretold as a part of Pentecost, as a part of God giving God's Holy Spirit, a part of the prophecy that is integrally a part of that is the fact of the coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ. And so what God is saying is that we all, each and every one of us, the living and the dead, shall see the second coming of Christ. And so we must prepare. We prepare ourselves, the second coming of Christ. We know that Christ will come again. We have faith in that. We understand that's a vitally important part of our faith as Christians. We prepare ourselves each and every day as though Christ will come at any second. And then also, since we know that the Spirit is speaking to each and every one and all people, then we also help them to prepare for the coming of Christ into the world. The second coming of Christ. One day, Christ will come again. One day, Christ will come as judge and ruler. One day, there will be the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. All things will be new. We will sing a new song before God because our Savior has come again. And so, we prepare for that day of the coming of Christ. One of the most interesting stories that Jason told was about the Fitzpatrick, the USS Fitzpatrick. You probably remember hearing about it in the news. It was the ship from the 7th Fleet that ran into a cargo ship, and it was very odd circumstances. And Jason said, the whole time you're there at Tokyo with the 7th Fleet, he said, the ships go out, the ships come in. The ships go out, the ships go in. They always are going out and coming in, and nothing pretty much happens. They go out, they come in, they're doing their duty, they're doing their work. Everything's running like clockwork. He said, that's the routine. That's what we do. The ships go out, the ships come in. And then one day, it didn't happen that way. One day, all the chaplains were called to go to the pier because the ship was coming back, but it was carrying 7 dead sailors. And the tragic part was, of course, like I said, the average age of those sailors was around 19. And they had had to close the hatch because the ship was sinking. And the word they got back was they didn't know if some of them could have survived, but the ship was sinking and the Navy was so afraid the ship would sink with everyone on board that they had to close that critical hatch. And they knew in closing it that those sailors would die. So 7 drowned, and the Navy would not release the names of the ones who had drowned, been killed. Some were killed instantly from the collision because it hit a berthing area of all things where they were sleeping. And so all the families that were there at the base came to the pier because no one knew if it was their husband or not, or wife. And so they all were there, and the chaplains were there, and he said, he watched as the sailors came and got on the pier, and he said they were brave and they were doing their thing, and all the crowds of people were there. But he said when they stepped foot on the pier, he said each and every one of them wilted, just collapsed into tears. He said another interesting thing was the overwhelming majority of those young sailors had no spiritual connection. That was his experience being there, and still is his experience. He's back there today. That they had no spiritual connection. Very, very, very few of them professed Christ as Savior. Very few of them had any inkling as to what being a Christian is all about. And he said they didn't have any spiritual guidance whatsoever. And yet here they came to this day of reckoning, day when 7 of their shipmates were now dead in a freak accident. A freak accident that was never supposed to happen. Who would have ever thought something like that would happen? And yet it did. The ship went out, but it didn't come back the same. And lives were changed forever. But Jason and the other chaplains were there, Jason in particular, offering them the living word of Christ, God's comfort, some spirituality in the midst of crisis, strength, the movement of the Spirit, the abiding presence of the Good Shepherd being there with them. We all know that Christ is coming again. We all know that life run smack into reality at times. And we, as people of the Pentecost, people of the Spirit, people of the resurrected Lord, have to be prepared and have to prepare ourselves and others for the fact that the day is coming when we will meet our Christ, either today or tomorrow, but that day is coming. And we are called upon through the power of the Spirit, all and each one of us, to accomplish that in the name of God so that all people come to call upon the name of the Lord as Savior. Let us pray. Most gracious.